Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
From the home of time.
It is now quite a day for local sport from your local team.
Woo! This is Charlton Live.
Held at home by the COD Army, have we had our chips? Welcome to Charlton Live. Good evening to you and welcome to Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. My name is Louis Mendes. Thank you very much for joining us here on your Sunday evening live from the Valley. Joining me in the studio, Tom Wanin, who's rushed back from Wales for this evening show. How are you doing, Tom?
Yeah, good. Yeah. I wasn't here, was I?
So well, you went to the rugby,
yeah, I feel all right.
Yeah. Did they win?
Yeah, they won.
I had to ask because it's a very insignificant sport. joining the pair of us is the grand old man of Charlton Live, Terry Smith. Are you doing, Terry?
I wished I was at the rugby.
Wish you were at the rugby.
Either.
Yeah, I mean, we were saying off air, like, for those of us who were there on Tuesday and there yesterday, it feels like a massive improvement. So, like,
we're an upward curve, boys.
But obviously, we're going to talk about yesterday's frustrating, disappointing, goalless draw here at the Valley with Fleetwood Town. We're still 5 points adrift of the playoff places with a game less to go. Is the race over? Are we giving up too easily? We need to find that out on tonight's show. Of course, we're going to hear from Carl Robinson. We're going to hear exclusively from Carl Robinson, our exclusive interview where he came in to speak to Tell after the game. But I've also clipped a couple of bits from some other interviews because, I mean, Carl was clearly a frustrated man after yesterday's game and he started firing out in all different directions, really, didn't he? So
yeah, I'm not sure that's frustration.
No?
No, there's something changed. Something changed, well, obviously after Tuesday.
There's
something not quite right. Well, we all know there's something not quite right. It's been not quite right for a while. But yeah. there's been a seismic change in Carl Robinson over the last week, and something's changing.
Yeah. So we're going to discuss that further once we hear both the clips of Carl's interviews. We're also going to hear from you guys, of course. This is Charlton Live, the show that you guys are more than welcome to have your views aired on. You can email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live. You can head over to the Charlton Live forum. There's a thread on there for tonight's show. Also, later on, yesterday was Red, White and Black Day. There was a little parade down, or a little march down from the station to the ground to celebrate diversity and inclusion and all that jazz. And I managed to catch up with Lewis Page, who was there. Obviously, he's out injured. So I spoke to him briefly about the event itself and why it was so great. But also just to find out how he's doing, obviously, after he had a nasty little bang on his head during the week. And
understatement.
Yeah, and the frustrations he's had during his first year and a half or so here at the Valley. Finally, we're going to just let you know about something that's going on at the Valley next week before the Plymouth Argyle game. But I'll tell you on more about that later on. So just before we hear the very brief, you'll be unsurprised to hear Terry highlights of yesterday's game.
I'm delighted to hear
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I mean, give us your 30-second summary.
Obviously we mock the fact that it was better than Tuesday, but you know, when we set the bar that low, it couldn't be difficult, could it? So it we showed a bit more intent, but the same. Same situation applied when we got to that final bit, where you want your players to take a shot, you want them to create something worthwhile. It just never seemed to happen, and apart from a few long range efforts, a couple of scuff shots that the keeper managed to save comfortably, there wasn't. I mean, and the only one thing I haven't seen yet, actually, I haven't seen back yet, is whether or not Jose's goal was onside or off.
Carl said it was. I can't say I've actually seen it.
In
since,
the highlights, so. I thought. Well, not in the highlights. In when it happened in real time, I thought he was onside.
I saw the highlights,
but I haven't seen it back, so I don't know.
I thought he was onside as well.
Yeah. We've been mugged here.
Yeah. Well, mugged. I mean, the strange thing about it for me, and that's, I mean, it goes on. I mean, I know it just sounds. This is going to sound conspiracy theory stuff, but it sort of goes along with the fact that I think there's been a change in the mood around the place.
And you think that more wasn't made of it?
Yeah, exactly. There was no histrionics about it. Do you know what I mean? When I said that I thought he was onside, and I saw Carl Robinson having a little bit of a chat to the forefront, but normally there'd be toys going out the pram and all sorts, wouldn't there? There'd be arms being flung, and there'd be more made of it than that, because it's an important goal to get chalked off. That was an important time of the game. If we'd have scored that, we'd have probably gone on and won it. And the position we're in, and you just think. You wanted not just Cole Robinson, but the whole team, you know, the whole squad, just to make more of it than just sort of let it go with a whimper. And, you know, obviously Tuesday night we let everything go with a whimper. But there seemed to be a little bit more about us in terms of the way we approached the game yesterday. And yes, we were the better side, but we still didn't really trouble Fleetwood in the goal.
How they came to set up and was to make it a game like that where we have the possession, and it was up to us to break them down, and we didn't do it often enough, or indeed at all.
You know, and I think I thought Tariq Fosu was our standout player, actually, myself, and anything that came good from Charlton came through him. But you can't just do it on your own, can you? You need other players to chip in, and there was just the same in terms of where we finished. It looked like. Almost that when it came to make the decision about whether to shoot, because Joe Rebo was in some great opportunities at some times, but then just chose to go safe rather than take a gamble. And whether that's through nerves and through, you know, crowd reaction, you don't want to get people get on your back for mucking up, maybe. But we just seemed to go by the safe option all the time, and then kept playing it square across their back four all the time. And you're never going to score, right? You're never going to get anywhere. And the one time we did get somewhere and we scored, and it was chalked off. There was no, you know, reaction to it, and that surprised me, and it just confirms what I think about and Carl's post match, both on Tuesday, and yesterday. I think just indicates to me that something's changing.
Excellent. Right, let's have a quick listen to the highlights from yesterday's game. As I said, you won't be surprised to hear that these are rather short.
Instead, Reeves goes into the box, but it's headed clear before he can find Josh McGuinness. Struggling, and Reeves blocks the attempted second clearance. He's in the penalty area. Reeves, past one, past the second, drives it across, misses everybody, and it's out for a throw-in by the Coptic corner flag.
I thought it was a clear handball from Reeves, and the referee had the whistle to his mouth. I thought he was going to give it. And Reeves, in the end, gets in the penalty area. It's a wasted chance. It's a cross-come shot in the end, and McGuinness wasn't in the box to try and get on the end of it, or wasn't in the position to get on the end of it, should I say.
It's too far in front of him, he's never
getting there. Yeah, he's never going to get there, and I think Reece is better off trying to. I don't know if he was going for goal and distract it.
No question about it. It's a long throw into McGuinness, who's challenging. Little flicked header. Reece has shot on again, blocked away by Bolger. Out to Aribo. Rides one challenge. Joe Aribo takes the shot. Oh, it's straight at the keeper.
It's tame. It's a good opportunity there, Aribo. Again, a shot from Reece. I think it was Easton on this occasion with the block. Two goal saving blocks on the Fleetwood defence in the last couple of minutes, and then it breaks to Rebo. It's a lovely first touch, and he gets a bit of space either side of the goalkeeper, a bit more power. It could have been a goal.
It's the second time Burns has done that. Is missed it, the half time whistle, I think. Yes, it is from the referee.
To Sarr. Sarr's got Fosu down the line. Tariq Fosu thought about cutting inside, but he's been forced backwards. But inside it comes now to Forster Kaski. He spots Pierce behind him. Pierce looking for options. Thought about going across the bow, but that would have been suicidal. And attempted to go back to his keeper, and that's been blocked. And now Madden will run in towards the penalty area. Bauer comes across, ball across the box. Fleetwood have numbers forward. It's a shot into the corner, and it's taken a deflection off of Stuart Pearce. I've done it again. Jason Pearce, who had to get back. It was McElhaney who'd got back into the edge of the penalty area, took the shot. I think if that hadn't taken the deflection off of Pierce, Fleet would be a goal up now. Tries to go right and does so to Kaikai. Kaikai cuts inside, approaching the corner of the penalty area, goes to his right foot, takes the shot, blocked away now, falls to Jose, another block, and then cleared away. Could have hit anything that the covered end were calling for a handball. But Fleetwood throwing themselves in front of every single Charlton shot.
Yeah, that's probably one of the reasons why Cairns hasn't really been tested much, because when Charlton have got in decent positions, the defensive duo of Easton and Bolger have been superb at the back for them today.
Fleetwood have left three forward as Forster Kaski puts the ball into the area. Bauer will flick it onto Fosu in the penalty area. Right-hand side, Fosu back to Kaikai. Ball into the box, takes a deflection. It'll drop to Jose, trying to shield the ball from three Fleetwood players. Bauer's in there as well, gets it back to Nabi Sarr. Nabi Sarr takes the shot. Oh, dear, 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 dear. Straight into the back of the covered end.
Why has he done that?
By some distance above the crossbar.
It would have taken a hell of a goal if he was going to get that in, Nabi Sarr. It comes back out. Good fight from Jose to win the ball back from Charlton as well. You got those bodies forward, just chip it in the penalty area. He just goes for goal. It's such a spectacle of effort, and it's miles over, and it just sums up Charlton today. Really does. Nice fight at times, and nice little passing, and nice little 1-2s at times. Just that final ball off, final bit of decision making has been just woeful today from the Addicts.
So that was the highlights of yesterday's game, followed up by the mascots who came into the studio before said game. Greg summed it up quite nicely there, talking about the Nabi Sarr shot that was endangering anyone sat in the North Upper.
Unfortunately, there weren't that many, so...
as you say, it was a really empty crowd yesterday. Obviously, the snow and whatnot didn't help, but I think the apathy set back in again this season. But like I say, that shot from Nabi just summed up the amount of times in that second half throughout the whole game, really, where we're getting the ball towards, you know, in and around the edge of their penalty area, and then we couldn't break them down, and we ran out of ideas very, very quickly yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably do the Fleetwood two centre-halves a bit of a disservice, because they threw their bodies in the way of the three or four shots that we did have. Nicky or Jose's one at the end there particularly, but and maybe if they hadn't have done that, we might have got something out of it. But generally speaking, we were I think we're now in a position where we're scared to take a gamble on a shot and all, and then when we do, it either goes straight at the keeper fairly tamely, or it hits Rose Ed.
It's funny actually, because you say that to Carl in your interview, and he says, "Yeah, I think you're right." But also when you spoke to him yesterday, he said, "Oh, there's a bit of trying too hard, and then trying shots that you shouldn't be trying." But if we at the same time, if we're supposedly scared to do it, I thought there was a bit of a contradiction there.
Yeah, well, maybe. It was clear to me. Certainly, two or three players when they were in a position where take a shot, take a punt, and then even if it's a good enough shot, you might get the follow up. But so many times we were in a position like that, and even crossing, by the way, it's not just about shooting. Position to put a ball in the box, you then drag it back to your other foot and come inside instead of... How many times... I mean, I thought Marshall didn't have a bad game yesterday, got some a few good crosses in. But there's that... he had that... who was the number? Was it Coyle on this? No, it was Jones. Getting Jones. He had him for toast in that first half, and there were a couple of times where he slipped over, which you can't odds. But and then just at that point, and maybe instead of crossing, then he'd cut the ball back inside to whoever's there, and you think, why? I mean, there were a couple of times where there was nobody in the box, so there was no point possibly. But yeah, it was just strange old game. But then following on from Tuesday, I suppose it was to be expected.
Yeah, I mean, at the same time, for all the possession we had, we could have easily been on the end of a 1-0 defeat there. Fleetwood had two golden opportunities in that second half. One of them didn't make the highlights because the recording cut out. But it was one where it was on a break and Amos saved one-on-one. Then the rebound was sort of touched just wide. And then we saw, of course, the chance that fell to Conor McElhaney where he side-footed it. It was deflected just wide.
Is that the one that came from Amos's misplaced kick?
Yeah, that was it, yeah. Misplaced kick.
Yeah, so we got lucky. I mean, I suppose we're lucky that Fleetwood aren't a better side. Otherwise, we wouldn't be talking about a 0-0 draw here. We'd be talking about something else.
Now, obviously, the big team news beforehand, we knew there was going to be three changes. Well, we knew there was going to be two, definitely, because Solly's injury doesn't sound too good now. So we saw Ezri Konsa drop back into the defence in the right-back berth and Joe Aribo coming in the midfield. Lewis Page, obviously, had his concussion, so now you go through the sixth stage, whatever it is, where I think it's about 7 or 8 days that you end up not being able to play, which meant Naby Sarr going in at left-back. And as we said, Zairo, who started up at Blackpool up top, sort of went off and Marshall came on into the wing with McGuinness pushing back up to the front line. Now, I think Naby Sarr was an interesting one yesterday, and Carl said it now. So we've ended up with playing four centre-backs across the back four with Ezri Konsa right-back and with Naby Sarr left-back. And in particular, the amount of times we've... when you're at home and you need to sort of make things happen, you have Jay De Silva there to try and burst through on the overlap. I mean, watching Naby Sarr, it's like Bambi on ice when he tries to run forward with the ball.
Oh, and he did it a couple of times, to be fair, and I think he can cross a ball, and... he's got a decent left foot on him, but he's not a standard overlapping left back. So, you can't expect it, I suppose. And look, we've got the injury situation is there. You know, you're missing Cashy, you're missing De Silva, you're missing Solly, they're a Clark as well, is probably the biggest miss for me. But, and Page obviously wouldn't normally have then slotted in. So, yes, those issues are there, no question about it. But we still had enough possession and potential opportunities in the box to create something and win the game, and it never materialised. And then, of course, I suppose the thing that a lot of people will point to is if your formation doesn't allow you to play because of the players that are injured, doesn't allow you to play it, then change it. Then pick a side where if we've got four centre halves, play three at the back.
That would have been interesting actually,
because especially at home, then you can flood your midfield with five midfield players and then play two up top. That would be my natural thought. Clearly, that isn't the case.
Now, obviously, with Zairo being dropped, because we saw him come on for that 25-minute cameo at Peterborough where he played well, got his goal amongst other good things that he did, but then he went up to Blackpool and I don't think he really set the world alight as no one did at Blackpool, so you weren't surprised to see him come back out of the team, I think, especially in terms of the minutes he's played as well.
Yeah, probably not more so than that, regardless of how well he would have played or otherwise. He's had a fairly serious injury and coming back, you then ask the question, well, why sign him in the first place, I suppose. But it didn't overly surprise me. Nicky and Jose possibly, as I say, if we'd have wanted to go for it at home, then it would have made more sense that Nicky Jose would have come straight in.
But again, Carl says he doesn't think he's deserving of a start yet. It looked lively at times yesterday, I think.
I thought when we changed to 4-4-2 and with Jairo and Jose, we actually looked more lively going forward. I mean, still didn't break them down, but we actually looked more lively.
Yeah. I mean, the way the game started, it was like I said, it was quite clear that Fleetwood had come to let Charlton enjoy the majority of possession. It was up to us to try and break them down. I mean, the first few chances all came from distance. So I think we had the Ben Reeves free kick that hit the wall and then came back to him, which he volleyed wide, Fosu firing way over the bar from about 30 yards out. But it was quite clear, like, Fleetwood had set up to defend and said, right, come on then, what you got?
Well, you'd expect that. In the position they're in as well, by the way. I mean, Sheridan's come in, they've got two draws on the bounce since he's come in. They're hovering around a relegation spot, so I think they're just out of it now. By getting that point, so you'd expect that, and so you should be set up to be able to counter that. So set up to be able to beat that, and I don't think we were.
Well, there's not been enough. There's been perhaps too many times this season where maybe earlier on in the season you think of the likes of Southend came and did it, but we did find those two goals. You know, great cross from Solly for McGuinness, and a great goal from Ricky Holmes. AFC Wimbledon did it, but we had that spark with Ricky Holmes' free kick. But as the season's worn on,
well, you've named a player there that can produce something out of nothing. Tariq Fosu theoretically is our player that can do that, and maybe without Mavadidi as well. I think when Mavadidi and Fosu are playing together, we have that. We had that with Ricky Holmes with a free kick or a shot out of nothing. We haven't got him now, so that is probably one of the principal reasons we couldn't do it yesterday.
Yeah.
When you lose a player like that, if you can't replace him,
there you go.
The breaks, you know what I mean? So, you know, as I said before, you know, and I didn't include Mavididi in the injury list. Yes, we've got injuries, so you've got to factor that in. But still, yesterday we should have had enough of bats to beat him.
Yeah, I mean, in particular, the couple of times we did get in behind them in that first half was when Ben Reeves had that cross, the shot come across the face of goal. And then we saw Fosu in behind as well, had a shot blocked. But I mean, other than after maybe half an hour or so, we started to run out of ideas. And then and you could feel the crowd getting restless very early on. And if you're the Fleetwood Town manager, if you've got half an hour, you got the crowd, a little bit of booing, a little bit of chanting 4-4-2, you're thinking, right, I've got them exactly where I want them now.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you could see, actually, the Fleetwood Town side lift measurably when the crowd started getting on the backs. And as much as I understand that, by the way, you can understand why the crowd would get the ump, because we're not beating a side like Fleetwood. We're seeing our season disappear. Nobody knows what's happening with the takeover. Do you know what I mean? So it's all symptomatic of the frustration that's around the Valley at the minute. Mm. So all understandable. But you could see Fleetwood Town visibly lift when they heard it. And they just sort of... The closing down just sort of grew by another few percent.
Yeah. It sort of summed it up, really, the half. There was 0 minutes of added time at the end of the first half, which sort of shows what sort of afternoon we're in for. Now, at the start of the second half, I thought Fleetwood actually started in the second half to show that they had a little bit more about them, and they did try and come out. And so in the early stage of that second half, when they started coming out a little bit, I was sort of thinking, right, here we go, the game's going to get stretched now, and this is where we're going to start having proper chances. But even then, I mean, we saw Reeves had a shot from the corner of the penalty area early on in that second half, but didn't start clicking for us.
I think probably they've gone out there with a message to say, right, go at them for 5 minutes. If we can nick a goal, then great, we'll come back and defend. If we don't nick a goal, great, come back and defend. So I think that's probably what happened in the first few minutes of that second half. And yeah, then it was just as you were. We tried to change it up. I try to remember the time when both Jose and Jairo came on. But it was, what, about the 70th minute-ish, I'm guessing?
Yeah, something along those lines, yeah. I mean,
You think, is that long enough?
No, 66 minutes.
Was it? Okay.
Well, it might have been after, actually.
And I would have preferred it to have been done at half-time, but, you know, I would have preferred to start with it, to be fair.
Yeah, no, you're right. Sorry, it was 60 minutes that McGuinness went off and Jason went off. And again, we saw some... when those two players went off, in particular McGuinness got sort of jeered off again. We saw that at Peterborough. I mean, did you think he did much wrong yesterday? There wasn't much going into him at all yesterday.
No, and I think he's been made the scapegoat a little bit. Again, I can understand the frustrations. I don't like the targeting a particular player over it, because it is a team game. And Josh McGuinness, you know, he runs into corners when, you know, his manager says he should be more central. Well, that's fine, but to be more central, you've got to get a supply line in, and that just doesn't happen at the minute.
Mm. Do you feel that you noticed just a change in us when we went to 4-4-2 then? Did you think we started becoming...
Yeah, we were certainly more lively. I think Jose and Jairo gave their two centre-halves, was Easton and Bolger, more to do. So they were busy, you know, they were a handful. Nicky Jose especially was coming short off the ball, and it was, you know, we looked a bit more fluid, but still ineffective, because there was still not that cutting edge that we need. And it's a difficult one, you know. Obviously, with the bodies that we've got out, it makes selection probably easier, actually, because less people to choose from. But I just think the way we're set up at the minute, it makes it too easy for opposite teams to shut us out.
Yeah. I mean, Tom, you weren't there yesterday, but you've probably seen all this before quite recently.
Yeah.
I mean,
pick a game. Yeah,
I mean, when you're hearing us talk about this sort of stuff, are you thinking, oh, well, this is what I would have done, this is what I would have changed to make it better?
I've been calling for 4-4-2 for a long time, and I know our problems are not purely down to formation at all. I also, as I said on Thursday, have an element of sympathy with Carl with the amount he's had to deal with since being here. But and yesterday it does sound like we did try a few different things, but my frustration over the other games that I have seen, so the Peterborough game, I wasn't at Blackpool, but seen the highlights, if you can call them that, of that and of yesterday. When we're not trying to change things up, that's the real frustration. It sounds like actually yesterday we did try and do that, and we gave it a go, and it still didn't work out. Now, is that because of what Terry's alluding to, which there's something doesn't feel quite right? Whether that's, you know, I was half expecting today to read that Carl had walked. I don't know why. I've got no inside knowledge on it. I've just got the feeling that he doesn't
I don't know if he's given up or what's going on, but the players don't seem to be reacting to him, and whether that's because of what he said a couple of weeks ago, is David Brent moment. I'm not sure, but yeah, something isn't right, and it just feels like you said there. I don't condone necessarily booing or targeting a certain player, but we've been here so many times before, and we thought this season was going to be different, and actually now we're a few games to the end of the season, it just doesn't feel any better.
Kai came on last 25 minutes as well. So Carl actually made all these subs quite early on this week, the last one with 25 minutes left to go. I mean, did you notice an improvement in him?
He put himself about. He actually, more so than he'd done in previous games, I think. And again, he looked lively enough for about a 10-minute period. But it sort of petered out when it became clear, I think, that we weren't going to get anywhere. He didn't do anything wrong necessarily. So I don't want to make it sound like we're Kai bashing here, because it probably wasn't on long enough to make an impact, but then he tends to only make 10 to 15 minute impacts anyway, even when he's on from the start. And that may be down to fitness again, who knows, but you can see there's a player in there, I think. As I say, he definitely put himself about, threw in a few challenges in, but still didn't really create a great deal.
Yeah, I mean, now I'm looking at my notes. I go through my phone on Twitter to look at my Twitter notes as we go through the game, and from the 66th minute, Kai is on for Marshall. My next tweet was 3 added minutes, so either I lost interest or nothing happened.
No.
But there was, right. I mean, there was very few. There was a lot of Charlton having the ball in and around the edge of the box, ending up either giving it away or deciding to shoot from miles out. And we heard the Naby Sarr one. We had a corner that Fosu took, and it came too short, and he came back to him and he bloomed it into the north upper as well. I mean, we just didn't create that chance that was going to win it for us.
Yeah, I think the added to the crowd frustration is everybody's frustration. You know, those corners not beating the first man. One of them was scuffed along the floor. Now, if that's a deliberate ploy for somebody to sort of attack the near post, fair enough, but that didn't seem to be the case. I think Carl reacted to that, you'll hear it later, but they don't deliberately do that, and of course they don't. Nobody's actually saying that that's a deliberate ploy, that you scuff up the corners. But when you're in the position we're in, when not just as a team, as a club, anything at all like this is going to spark frustration and disappointment and anger and everything else that goes with it. So it's just symptomatic of Charlton at the minute.
So as I said, there was only 3 minutes of added time. Never looked like scoring in it, unfortunately. The final whistle goes. The crowd reaction at full time. How would you describe it, Till?
Well, it's the noisiest 400 people, I think, I've ever, all booing at once, because there weren't that many left by the time the players started walking across, and they did applaud the fans, of course.
Interesting to see Carl's reaction when he came off. Now, a lot of booing. He talks about at the Peterborough game when McGuinness got jeered off, how McGuinness still clapped the fans, and Carl was sort of living by that mantra, but he's also sort of laughing when he's coming off a little bit. I don't know if Carl takes criticism too well from supporters, if I'm being honest now, and we're going to hear some clips from that later as well. But
I don't know, I think this is the first time that, and again, it goes back to what I was saying before, about there's a change already happened or happening, whereby the criticism of fans now is not something that I've ever heard from Carl Robinson. I like Carl Robinson. He's a difficult bloke to dislike, actually, when you speak to him a lot. This is the first time I think I've heard him openly criticise the supporters. And that's not normal for me. And that's why I said it to you off air. I think there's just something changed.
Yeah. Interesting. Right, we're going to hear from Carl Robinson in just a few seconds' time. Don't forget, after we speak to Carl, though, we want to know what you guys made of yesterday's performance and what you think about what Carl said after the game. You can email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can head over to the Charlton Live forum. There's a thread on there about yesterday's game. Now, this is our exclusive interview with Carl Robinson. He came in to speak to Terry after, so we're going to hear that first, and then afterwards we'll come back and chat. But I will play you a couple of clips from the BBC interview, just to highlight, I think, the point about his changing attitude, or perhaps whatever you want to call it. But anyway, let's listen to our interview first. This is what Carl Robinson had to say to Terry after yesterday's goalless draw here with Fleetwood.
Carl, better than Tuesday night in terms of
Jesus Christ, I can't
the performance
get
in that, but we still couldn't break a tough Fleetwood side down.
Listen, it's for me, I've just been saying there, 17 shots, only 2 on target. That just tells you everything. Our job as coaches and staff is to put them in a system that gets them opportunities to shoot or score. It's down to the individual to take the right technique And that wasn't the case today. And I don't think it's because of a lack of talent or a lack of desire. It's caring too much sometimes and trying to shoot from silly angles rather than sort of doing the correct thing. And I've got tremendous respect for my team and how hard they worked. We won more second balls than the opposition, dominated territorially. I'd probably would treble as many crosses as them, or quadruple as many crosses as them. As a game plan today to keep width and get many 1v1s against their fullbacks, and to keep Reevesy close to Josh and sort of have that sort of higher striker in midfield or higher midfield player in that three. I thought Jake and Joe dominated midfield. I thought Jake Forster-Kaski was probably the best player today. I thought he tried to get on the ball as often as he could. He tried to play forward passes. Off the back of a very fatigued group who got back, as you well know, 5 o'clock in the morning, for them to recover against a team that hasn't played in the week and to perform to the levels of that physically, it's a tremendous testament to the sports science team, who's done everything they possibly can to get a team out there. And I'm proud of them to do that. And that's important.
Does the confidence factor come in by way of what I mean of that is we get into the positions where you're looking like we're going to build something, and then that final choice where it's more of a safe choice than a brave choice. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's certainly the case. I think that's probably a perfect way of looking at it. I'm very proud of how everyone's conducted themselves today. You want to take the criticism on the chin because people feel so frustrated that we've not won. A little bit unfair in some ways when you've dominated a game and you play so many different formations, and even today, whether you play 4-2-3-1 or 4-4-2, regardless of the shape, we still played the same.
But I think the atmosphere probably is symptomatic of where we are at the club as a minute. I mean, when you came out Tuesday night after the game and said about the whole takeover thing, maybe up in here.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, we're 4 or 5 points in the playoffs. So we can have our moans at half time, we can have our moans at the end of the game. That's not a problem. I mean, criticise me as much as you want. Doesn't bother me, but I just want people to be there for the players, and not one of them walked today. They tried to do everything they possibly could. So because their technique wasn't right, human error, said this a number of times, Tariq didn't mean to hit the first man for two corners. We watched him practice some corners yesterday and he hit 6 of them on the money, and today he just sort of tenses up and it hits the front man.
Well, as a coaching staff watching in, as much as well, the frustration must be huge.
Yeah, because don't think of this football club. This is one of the first times ever you've had people in the staff. Jack does a set pieces. He works tirelessly on where he wants it, who moves where, how we defend. We work tirelessly on shape and everything else and how we win it back and where we want players to be. They're as coaching as well drilled as they're ever going to be. And I think the players look like that today. We look very comfortable in everything that we did. But unfortunately, we don't have that killer instinct in the final third to get us. Our goal tally this year is diabismal. It's diabismal, not even a word. Diabolical. And I think that's the crux of the whole situation. But they'll not tell you this in end of August. They'll not tell you this last weekend in January. So come back to bite us a little bit, but that's life.
You changed it up, went 4-4-2 second half, and went for it. And I thought Jara and the Josie looked lively when they came on. So, yep. You know, unfortunately, still there was that. You know, we still didn't manage to break Fleetwood down. But were you pleased with the way they came on? And
yeah, they looked very good as a pair, very bright as a two. I think there's so many facets of their game that we know can be very, very good. Michael wasn't ready to start two games in a short period of time. Nicky still not played any. He started a league game for 6-7 months. So these are nowhere near. They're going to be impact players for a large part. Michael started the other day. He looked better when he came on against Peterborough and what he did today than what he did when he started up against Blackpool on Tuesday. So these are little positives that we can take. Steffi hopefully should be back with his training on Monday. And then we'll see where we go from there.
Speaking of which, you must have been delighted not to get any injuries today.
Ben Amos is injured, so we got injured.
Oh, is he?
Okay. He got injured weirdly going out for the game, just picking a ball out the net. His back sort of twinged, and it looked like he was going to come off after 4 or 5 minutes. He had loads of painkillers at half time, got some onto him during the game. He'd be in a lot of pain tonight. It could be a probability he's not fit for next week, but we'll see how that one materialises over the next 48 hours. But as you know, with backs, they're unpredictable, and as you know, mate, the older we get, it's even more unpredictable.
Yeah, tell me about it. Will Dylan be available for that, or will
he's been injured? He's injured, so we'll see. Again, today's people talk. No Steffi, no Clarkey, Cashy, Jay De Silva, Solly. 5 of our starting 11 not available. I don't know what people expect of me and my staff to still put a performance in and dominate like we did today, with 50% of our starting 11 not available. It's an amazing stat. To be fair, I've just been speaking to one of their players. They're saying, how many players do you have? I said, no, but it's football, unfortunately. You've got to patch yourself up and go on. And that's just the way it is.
And trying to drag the mood of the dressing room back up again.
Well, the mood of the dressing room is fine. Okay. We'll stick together. We always do. We're a very positive group. They know that we'll all work hard together. Some people, listen, a week's a long time in football. We'll see how we get to on next week and we'll see where we go from there.
Must have been delighted that Jason Pearce was back and available, but yeah. Bearing in mind how he came off.
Yeah, it was, but again, he's a leader. To have him as captain today, he showed tremendous strength in that. It was difficult today for a number of reasons. Having four centre-backs playing at home is hard, because how are you going to get fluidity and get overlapping runs that you get for Jay De Silva? This is the bit that baffles me. People are expecting Naby Sarr to do what Jay De Silva does at 6'3". Well, Jay De Silva couldn't go and play centre-half the way Naby Sarr does. So, but it's need must. With three left backs injured, sorry, two left backs injured, and he's the third choice. You're going to lose fluidity and accuracy from an offensive positions when teams sit deep like Fleetwood did today. But I tell you what, every one of them were there to still try and get on the ball. They were still brave, and I'm proud of them for that.
More available back for Saturday.
We hope. Lewis Page, we hope. Listen, Page will be back. Cashy should be coming back to the UK, so we'll see where he's at. I believe he's doing really well over in Qatar. Steffi should be back as well for training, so you could have two or three maybe back in for some sort of contention. Cashy could be a week after, but they're all coming back slowly but surely.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today. You can't stand me, no, you can't stand me now. You can't stand me, no, you can't stand me now. You can't stand me, no, you can't stand me now.
Taken by Jay De Silva and now forced to Kasky, looking to whip the ball in, and he does, and it's a really dangerous ball all the way across,
and get it's in there. Come on,
and it's super
Come
Josh on. McGuinness, who has put Charlton two goals in front. They've been looking for that second goal. They haven't really had many chances apart from the Aribo strike early in the second half, but Charlton have doubled their lead.
Talking about Charlton Live, that was Carl Robinson speaking about yesterday's diabysmal performance against Fleetwood Town. Interesting interview, Terry. You were obviously there, sat in the room doing it with him. I mean, how would you describe his demeanour?
As I said, it was a different character. I mean, sometimes coming in normally, especially early on, yeah, you just have to light the blue touch paper and off he went. And you wouldn't get a word in. I don't think I actually finished a question for the first year. And then sometimes, you know, especially this season, it's been a case of you had to struggle to get anything out of him, especially after a defeat. And yesterday it was a little bit different. Just the tone was different for me, you know, as I said, having a little pop at the fans. There just seemed to be a different mood for me.
He asked me if I could play up front, actually, when he came in to speak to me yesterday. Now, you talk about the pops at the fans. Now, again, I think this was highlighted because it came up in the press conference next door, but it also came up in the BBC interview, and there's just a couple of bits that really stood out for me. So I thought we'd play them as well on tonight's show, just because he talked, the frustration was quite evident. And obviously, he came in to speak to us quite quickly, actually, yesterday, considering it was a game that we didn't win. Quite fresh off the back of the reception he got from the supporters when he left the field of play. So I thought it was quite interesting the way he was talking yesterday. So just a couple of little clips here from my interview with him yesterday, just because I was surprised about how much he was saying.
Someone said to me, "What, when Tariq put the two corners, and do you not work on corners? Is he stupid?" Of course we do. We work on them every day. The fact is that technically he hit a bad one is not down to anybody else other than just that moment in time his technique wasn't right. So it, and that's part of the problem, from set pieces to open play. We dominate games, but we just don't score. And that is the story of our season. I think it's as simplistic as you can. Other than Jacko or me or Bo going on, actually not me, but Jacko and Bo going on trying to score a goal. It's not much more the staff can
when
do.
They played 4-2-3-1 today, 4-4-2. It was the same.
So they can shove the systems. That's a load of rubbish. Because we played two systems today and got the same outcome.
I was going to say, you did make that change the last 20 minutes, but didn't really change. The fans were calling for it in the first half.
When?
They were chanting for a 4-4-2 in the first half. When I think they were
yeah, but we went to 4-4-2 and it was the same. So it's not systems. It's personnel that's available. Michael wasn't available to start. I don't think Nicky deserves a start yet. That's all we've got. That's all we've got. So we have to do what we've got. So, listen, if people want to say what they've got to say, that's not a problem to me. That's not a problem, because there'd be a lot worse things that could happen in the future, and I know that for a fact. So it doesn't really bother me. We got everything right today. We got a bang on. But our decision-making in the final third was not... That's something I can't do.
You can shove your systems there.
Yeah. That's the first time I've heard that.
Yeah.
That just cements my original thought.
I mean, again, like, so as always, he always comes in to do that one first because we have to get it on air before the hour's up. So that's always where he's at. He's most enraged sometimes. And I mean, he was furious, wasn't he?
Oh, clearly, yeah. But what was he more enraged about? The reaction to the game or the game itself? Looking by that, it would be the reaction rather than the disappointment of not beating Fleetwood.
Well, the thing is, like, I was saying in the crossbars after the game yesterday, I mean, if, for example, yesterday's game came in September, October, we'd won all our home games so far, then a team's come up and done a job on us, and we've come away 0-0, you could almost understand them going, oh, they've done a job on us, what can we do? But that's all well and good saying that in September, October, when we're still looking where we're going to go for the rest of the season. This is a business end. This is where we can't let teams come and do a job on us anymore.
Well, not just that. I mean, it comes on the back of how many defeats now?
Three
in a row. It comes on the back of probably the worst performance I've seen in a long, long time at Blackpool on a Tuesday night. And comes on the back of Carl's comments about the takeover. Then anybody who thinks the fans aren't going to be on on the back foot and wanting and needing a performance and a result, and they got neither, then you got to understand what the reaction is going to be.
Yeah. The change in system, though, Tom, obviously it's something we've talked about recently. I mean, the manager. I mean, Terry, you said you felt it looked a bit better. I didn't feel, to be honest, that it looked any different yesterday for me. And do you think it is systems? Is it personnel?
We have more than one corner.
Well, that's true. But even then, I didn't think we looked any more like scoring. I didn't think we created more. I thought winning corners is when you get a cross that didn't go into the box. That's what a corner is. It's a cross that's been blocked and put out for a corner. You know, we didn't create any more chances.
For me, it's everything. It's all just, like Terry just said, it's all kind of come together. So there's the comments about the takeover. There is still the injuries, which I can't stand when he keeps using them as an excuse, but they're there. It's a fact. It is the formations, it's the apathy, it's the dragged out takeover, it's fans not coming, all of that's come together. And as I say, the frustrating thing this year is we've actually had a bit of hope and we haven't. For the last few years, we've just been appalling the whole time, and you just kind of deal with that however you do. But here, we started the season well. And again, Carl used this as an excuse after the Blackpool game and said, you know, if we hadn't started the season so well, we made a rod for our own back type comment. Well, yeah, but we were in that position and we deserved to be, and that was what we needed to build on. And instead of building on it, we're slipping away. And as I say, when you look at the cold hard facts of where we are now to this time last year, the improvement has been huge. But as fans, it's not acceptable, because we're at the moment, and we are still only, what, 5-6 points off playoffs. It's still possible, but it just doesn't feel like it's going to happen. And it's just so difficult for fans to accept, because Carl came out 2 weeks ago in his press conference and said, I love this part of the season. This is the part I live for, you know, as managers, this is where you make all your money. And now, a few weeks later, we're off the back of three defeats and a draw against Fleetwood, and again, it looks like we're going nowhere.
I asked him if he was still believing in the at the end of the interview there. I don't know if you saw, actually, BBC put a little snazzy video out with words on, someone more technically minded than I did, on the BBC London Sport account, and they misquoted me. They said they thought I said, "Do you believe in?" and then just stopped speaking. No, I said, "Are you believing?" but he said more than some people. Now, again, must be aimed at us supporters, yeah. Because I mean, I said it on Thursday, I think I've written us off now, because just the performances just haven't stood up to what they need to be. I mean, maybe we're getting carried away because there is still 10 games left for us. We've got a game in hand, obviously, against a Shrewsbury team that's very much better than us, but it's still a game in hand. We're 5 points off. I mean, we've got Plymouth next Saturday. If we beat them, it'll be 2 points off Plymouth. If they beat us, probably we'll just add to the fact that it's definitely over now. But, you know, is Carl right? Are we fans now suffering from a lack of belief because the position we're in is not completely untenable?
No, we're suffering from a lack of belief because of what's going on. Mm. We're suffering from a lack of belief because, you know, we did have 3 wins on the bounce at point, and we had some victories when the injuries were piling up, and against the odds to a certain extent, because the spirit in the side looked up for it, and it looked like they were ready to compete. The 3 successive victories we've had since, in the last 5 games, isn't it? Last 5 weeks.
Yeah.
3 successive victories. We haven't looked like winning. We've surrendered winning positions before that, and then we go and play on Tuesday night like we you know. And I'm sure it's not true, because I said it on commentary yesterday. You know, I'm lucky enough that I've actually met a few of the players behind the scenes before the game, maybe after the game, and they do genuinely care about the, you know, winning and the club and competing, and you know, I don't think they deliberately go out there not to play, for example. But that game Tuesday night was woeful. I mean, you say it was yesterday wasn't was as bad. I wouldn't agree with
no,
that.
Yeah, so, no, I wouldn't say yesterday was as bad. I'd say it's a bit of an improvement.
Yeah, so, you know, and
so I'm in such a good mood.
Clearly. So, you know, there was a slight improvement yesterday. We still didn't get the result. Now, I actually think on the back of the Blackpool game, you know, and not just because there was only 200 plus Charlton fans there on Tuesday night, but the reaction from those fans, plus commentators, plus, you know, all of us, that came back to the wide Charlton public, the club says there was 9,500 extra fans there than there was Tuesday night. I'm not sure that's true, but let's say 6. You know, those 6,000 fans extra that were there yesterday compared to that were there Tuesday night at Blackpool would have known about that. Not only would have they known about that, but they would have heard Carl's post-match press conference on the Tuesday night as well.
If they had 20 minutes there.
Yeah, exactly. about the takeover. And, you know, what's kept this, I think, enthusiasm for the team this season going has been, I think, personally, the potential takeover.
Yeah,
and 100%. If that could have been married with a half-decent performance or getting into the playoffs as well, it would have. I think everybody would have thought this is probably the best season for quite a while. As it turns out, the season's petering out. I don't think we're even get close to the playoffs personally now. I certainly thought it after Tuesday. And now if the takeover is up in the air, as Carl mentioned that it was, then a lot of fans are thinking, well, what's the point? They've written off this season. So now it's back to, right, we're just going to criticise everything and everything. And they're absolutely right to do so.
I think if that takeover goes through when they said it was originally going to, obviously we don't know exactly what would happen, but I can't imagine we would have seen some of the performances that we've seen. And I don't think it's an excuse, and the players shouldn't let it affect them. But with everything else, it just, that whole atmosphere around the club has stalled because that takeover hasn't happened, and we're just in limbo again. It's driving me mad.
Right, let's have a look at some of the correspondence after yesterday's game. Plenty of tweets and emails have come in. You can email us studio@charltonlive.co.uk if you want to have your say. You can tweet us at Charlton Live. There's a thread on the Charlton Live forum, which is live for this evening's show, if you want to have a comment on there. A couple of people already have. I'll get on Twitter first. Now, I'll put out the quote that Carl said. You know, you want to take the criticism on the chin, as people feel frustrated we've not won, but it's a little bit unfair when you've dominated the game. Which is one of Carl's quotes from your interview there, Tel. Now, Martin's tweeted in saying, the stats from yesterday don't support that. The possession stats mean sod all when we pass it 30 times across the back four. They had 4 shots on target to our 2. That is not dominating a game. I mean, we look at the cold hard stats here, which Mark's copied from the BBC website. 58% possession for Charlton, 42% for them. 17 shots to 10, but we've only had two on target. They've had four on target. We've had five corners. They've had three. Fouls, 7-8. No one cares about fouls. But
no, he's actually spot on there. I mean, possession means absolutely nothing.
Oh, no, but yeah.
If you pass it across, you pass it across the back four for half an hour, then your possession stats are going to be enormous, aren't they? If you don't actually venture into the other half, it means nothing, does it?
That's why, and that's why you can say we dominated possession, which is certainly true, but in terms of creativity and chances yesterday, we were lacking. And
I mean, the ratio of shots on target to shots is poor, isn't it? Yeah. 17-2.
But sums us up. I think Naby Sarr's shot should have had five shots off target just about on its own.
I mean, our ratio on Tuesday was probably better than that, because I think we only had two on target on Tuesday, but they were probably the only shots we had.
Yeah.
From the look of the highlights as well, they had the best chance yesterday.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Comfortable.
Clive Richardson says, sadly, Carl seems to be losing the stats battle as well as the fans and possibly the dressing room. James Moynard said, we didn't dominate. It was an equal game and they probably had the better chances. It's all too slow from us. I liked that they started from the back yesterday, but we did it every time. It works well to stretch the game, but we must mix it up. Too predictable all the time. There was one point yesterday which me and Carl were talking about after the interview, where we were talking about, there was a bit where it was when the first chant of 4-4-2 started in the first half, where one of our players went back to Amos, and there was a little bit of frustration there. I mean, in a situation like that, I think, because whenever we tried to pump it forward, we lost the ball anyway. So I understood why we went back to Amos. Oh, yeah. But a lot of the fans get frustrated when there's too much of passing it around and too slow and we're not being incisive. I don't think they're frustrated with the fact we go back to Amos. I think they're more frustrated with the fact that we haven't found an incisive pass yet.
I think that's fair. I think when you have that amount of possession and you can be, can be patient as you like, but at some point, there's got to be a clinical side to that. At some point, you've got to make your way through to the other end. And there just seem to be, at times, huge gaps between the midfield and the defence, and then other times, there were too many midfielders back in the back four to take the ball off the back four. And then, of course, there's still a massive gap between them and the others. So, but every now and again, we did. Every now and again, there was that two or three little pass move that we're quite good at, and we've done it a lot of times this season. And when that comes together, and it did happen, you know, with Reeves, with Fosu and Aribo, you think, yes, you know, that's what we need to do. That's how we can pick our way through this stubborn sort of brick wall of that Fleetwood have put up. It didn't happen often enough. And then just at that point where we seem to pick our way through, then we go and make the wrong decision. You know, then we go and play a safe ball wide when Marshall's got two men on him. Or we go back to, just where we're at a point where we look like we're going to cut through them. Joe Aribo then goes back to Pierce. There was just those moments where, the decision-making, when it happened, seemed to happen the wrong way. And I'm sure that's not true in every case, by the way. I'm sure there were times when it did happen, and we did get crosses into the box. But the crossing that came in wasn't incisive enough.
John Skinner says, we dominated possession, yet we only had two shots on target. The problem when we dominate possession is that a lot of our passing is negative. Don't forget, Leicester City won the Premier League with average possession of less than 40%. It's how you use it. Ryan Mason said, maybe someone should highlight Jackson, who's a left footer, and Dick Steele, who's a right back, out to him. Jackson isn't the player he was, but the slower players get their drop back in positions. Nothing wrong with Dick Steele in place of Solly. And then he also says that go to Jose and Zairo up top, but he said that Cole's too pick-headed to do it. Wouldn't like it if we started getting results with 4-4-2. It would put his system to the sword. I mean, do you think there would be a bit of that? Do you think he's too stubborn to change it? Because he did change it yesterday, and there wasn't, in my opinion, a great upturn in performance. Terry thought there was a little bit.
I think he is quite stubborn with it. As you say, it's difficult because yesterday he did finally change it up. But for me, we could be doing that more often. We could be doing it from the start of games. I think we do. I know that Zairo maybe not fully fit, but I think we do now have the personnel that we can do that. I also think the option of three at the back would also work, but again, I don't know necessarily whether we're going to see that. So I think there is a bit of stubbornness there. I think if he plays 4-4-2 and we win the game, I don't think he's going to be gutted just because it's not his formation. But I think there is a little bit of that there.
Right, Peter White says, the season is now written off and the outlook looks bleak. Takeover needed ASAP to ensure we have a chance next season. I did mention this on Thursday after what Carl had to say on Tuesday after the Blackpool game tell. But just a matter, like you're talking about, you know, we've got no CEO, we've got no chief financial officer at the moment. Imagine if this is still the situation in the summer. We're going to have no bloody players.
I don't think we'll have a manager in the summer either.
I think we are clearly rudderless. We are clearly in a sort of evolving situation that has stalled. You know, it seemed at one point that everything was going to happen quite quickly because of the nature of the departures. And now that hasn't happened. Why it hasn't happened, I know there's plenty of rumours going around that, you had Mr. Richard Murray coming out and saying the price has been agreed with two parties. If that's true, then what's happening? Because I also, you know, when I buy anything and I've agreed a price for something, I tend to want it now.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
That's how I got this coffee and bag of crisps on the way here. We agreed a price, I paid it.
And went away with it, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I don't get that bit, whether or not Mr. Murray has been given duff information, who knows? I wouldn't put it past the people that own us, or the person that own us, I should say. So, you know, and that all adds to this up in the air feeling that we, you know, Cheltenham fans just don't know what's happening. And how can you, we want to hope for the future. Mm. How can you hope for the future when you know, and nobody seems to know what's going on?
Think about over the last few years how many times we've been told one thing and then different things happen quite quickly, even by someone who you'd expect to be fairly in the know in terms of Katrine. Who told us in the programme against Brighton and Hove Albion that, you know, we're going to stick with big bad Bob Peters, sacked the next day, went on Talk Sport and said, you know, Russell Slade's the man for us, sacked 2 weeks later. I reckon Roland either changes his mind very often or never even tells people what his mindset is, and then just makes a decision, doesn't care what other people have said or what they do. In this case with Richard Murray, surely Richard Murray hasn't just plucked dates and stuff out of the air. He must have been told it by Roland. Yeah, yeah. And now Roland's just like, whatever, I'm going to change my mind.
Well, it only takes up like a couple of percent of his time, doesn't it? So
Was it? I can't remember the percentage now. It's probably 2%.
Let's try and work this out, right? So if 2% equates to, in a time frame, right? So of let's go for a month, right?
Mm.
How many days is 2% in a month? Is this 30 odd days, let's say?
So you're looking at much less than one day, aren't you?
So less than a day. So you're talking about, what, 5 hours?
Yeah.
If it's a month? Yeah. So he agreed the price in one day, half a day, and now he thinks, well, I'll go back to that again in the next month.
Yeah.
And think about it again for half a day, and then thought about it again for half a day and thought, well, actually, I might need a bit more time over this. So we've got to wait for, like, whatever half a day he happens to think about us. Yeah.
Right, well, there's a question for the rest of the show. What do you spend 2% of your time doing? What do you reckon you spend about 5 hours a month doing? I'd love to hear it at Cheltenham Live email studio.
Keep them clean.
No. At studio at cheltenhamlive.co.uk. Right, Steve Catley says, so is the quality or lack of it in our play, our tactical awareness, willingness to try something new, like not playing it out from the back once in a while, or starting a quick attack like Fleetwood did, all the things he has total responsibility for, talking, of course, about Carl Robinson. He was replying to my tweet about there being diabismal, so he's saying all those things are diabismal. Clearly not too happy. Right, tweets into Cheltenham Live. London Nick Geezer said, tweeted in earlier on this afternoon, saying, rumour has it that Robinson's agent was watching Oxford yesterday. Can you shed any light on this? Now, I can't shed any light on that, because I haven't heard anything about that. I mean, but would fit in with something you're saying, something's changed, though.
Well, yeah, that's true. And
don't forget, his agent would be a lot of people's agents.
Well, so, that's also true as well. Well, the rumours are there, aren't they, about Oxford? He didn't, wasn't it on Tuesday he said, did he say Tuesday that Oxford wasn't, was, or did he mention it at all? I can't remember.
Can't remember now.
No. There must be something in it, otherwise, you know, these rumours don't just appear from nowhere, do they?
Mm.
Was it on Sky Bet or something, Adam? Odds on.
Just looking at
still,
one
yeah,
point.
I mean, he's one to four on.
Svengorn Ericsson is second favourite.
What's his odds?
6-1.
Yeah, two very similar managers there.
Stephen Gerrard, Frank de Boer.
Yeah,
Frank de Boer.
Frank de Boer.
I can't see him going to Oxford.
Great manager, Frank de Boer.
Surely be Mourinho's number two. there's something in it. There's clearly something in it. How much is in it? I don't know.
Yeah, right, F. James. Good evening, chaps. Well, what a pathetic inept performance. There was no togetherness, no desire to win. This squad is falling apart. I'm sorry to say, but it's mainly down to the coaching that they are given. I will always give my vocal support and opinions for what they're worth. I am sad to admit that that even if we were to finish in a playoff place, we would be humiliated. So we do go go full pelt and hope to get a spot, or give up now and plan for next season? My hope is to get a playoff spot and join the lottery of the playoffs. I never give in my work or my personal adventures, so I expect my club to do likewise. I am a very disappointed fan. I mean, you can see Ev's, I'd say, probably been one of our more positive supporters, people tweeting in over the last week. See, he normally always ends with, I still think we get the playoffs, and now it's just taking it down a notch, though, I hope. And I felt if, I hope that means that, the like I say, if you never give up in your personal adventures, so hopefully you Charlton won't do the same this season.
You know, and I get that, and I think in the normal course of events, and by the way, this is not condoning this in any way, shape or form, but I think I mentioned it last Sunday as well, and then Carl almost ratified it on Tuesday when I said that this whole takeover thing dragging on, and you've got no CEO, you've got no financial director, you've got players whose contracts are up, you've got players whose need to cement their future, loan players especially as well, you've got De Silva not knowing whether or not he'll be staying with us next season. All these sort of things affect, they've got to affect people, whether you like it or not. And I know people say once you cross the white line, I'm not sure that's true. You know, yes, all right, you might not be thinking about it every step of the way, but much of what you do during the game is formed in the previous week, on the previous 4 or 5 days, however many it is between games. And so if you're not giving, because you're worried about your future or because your mind's on other things, if you can't focus 100% on playing football, then it's going to affect you. I don't care who you are. Maybe it shouldn't. I know it shouldn't. But I don't think you can necessarily draw a comparison between a normal job and football. Look, if somebody comes to me and says, right, by the way, in 2 weeks' time, you might be made redundant. You might not be, but you might be. That 2 weeks, I'm not going to do nothing. I'm just not. Am I going to be thinking of other stuff?
I've been through the exact situation in my current day job at the moment. Like, there's been talk of redundancies over the last 3 or 4 months, I'm saying. The last 3 or 4 months, I've checked out. And now on Friday, I've heard it might not be happening. I was like, oh, God, I ain't done anything about it. Yeah,
but it's human nature. That's human nature. It is. There's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah. So I've got a lot of work to do when I get into it.
As much as I agree 100% with the sentiment about once you cross the white line, you should be given 100% for your club and the supporters that come, I agree with that 100%. But I still, you know, being football players doesn't excuse, you know, sort of take you out of the human nature element.
Humans, aren't they?
Yeah. Right, Martin says, Robbo's plan A has been sussed out and he's got no plan B. Wingers can't cross the ball, so our one striker has got no chance of scoring. Valley Pun said he's rubbish at corners, that is so Charlton. Right, Red and White, when I tweeted out earlier saying we're going to hear from Cobram, said, do we have to hear from the soon-to-become Oxford manager? No one cares what he has to say anymore. Which is, well, in some cases, true, probably. James Moyar said, we looked, after the change to 4-4-2, we looked more positive and had more options up top. It needs to happen from the start, but that won't happen under Carl Robinson. Church, he said, what do you make of the rumours that Carl Robinson has been touting for jobs elsewhere? Can't say I'd blame him with an employer like Roland du Châtelet. Tell, or Tom?
I don't blame him at all. I've said a lot that I want him to stay here. I said on Thursday's show he's annoyed me recently, and the Blackpool defeat obviously didn't help that, but if I was in his position, I'd do the same. It's the same why Ricky left. I completely understand why he did it. Obviously I'd rather he stayed here, but that might be the other thing with the players that are here now. I think they were signed on the assumption that we were going to be a side that were pushing for the, maybe not the title, but certainly to go up this season, and they're seeing the season slip away as well. Now, obviously, they can do something about that because they are the players, but if they're seeing it slip away as well, then maybe that's why they're checking out a little bit. But, I think, like Terry says, I think there's something going on. I don't know what it is, but he's had so much to deal with here. It wouldn't surprise me if he just fancied a slightly easier gig somewhere else.
Well, I think it's clear that he's not going to get sacked anytime soon, I don't think, because... Yeah. Roland du Châtelet is not going to have to spend money if he doesn't have to. Isn't it? So
all his time's taken up in it anyway.
Well, as well, yeah. So you know, in the 5 hours he thought about it on a Monday, that he probably thought, well, actually, if I sack him, I've got to pay him off. Mm. I don't know how long his contract's for, by the way, I can't remember. Mm. But he's got to pay him up to his contract, so that's not going to happen. Bearing in mind he sort of juggled over Ricky Holmes's transfer just to make sure he got a few hundred grand in. Yeah. So he's not going to spend that money on getting rid of Carl, is he? So that's not going to happen. So the only way that a change of manager is going to happen is if Carl Robinson walks. The only way that's going to happen is if he's got a job to walk into that's going to pay him enough to make it worth his while, I guess.
Yeah, interesting. Right, Charlton Exile says, do you know you're live on air, Louis? You're going to do yourself out of a job. It's a good point, actually.
Oops.
Withdraw that comment. Right, Tom Smith says, Charlton tapped it to get it wide and cross it in. It's slightly flawed by the fact that our wingers and set piece takers cannot beat the first man. Never seen anything like it on Saturday. Is it a confidence thing, or is Mark Marshall useless? because he's, you know, it's probably been a problem that the Marshall's had for the majority of this season, where, you know, a lot of legwork getting down to the byline, but his delivery into the box hasn't been what we were hoping for at times.
Like someone earlier said, though, that is classic Charlton, especially with set pieces.
Charltonized him, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of both with him. I think at the start of the season, I was very, very critical of Mark Marshall. I didn't really see what he was offering the team. I think he's improved. I think the defensive work he does now is obviously good, but at the end of the day, he's a winger and he's there to get crosses in and supply the forward, and he's not really doing that. It's the same with Josh McGuinness. His defensive work's brilliant and stuff, but at the end of the day, he's judged on his goals. So he doesn't get goals. I understand why people criticise him, but, you know, when you're looking at what's the choice at the moment, if it's Marshall or Kaikai, for me, I'd be picking Marshall because he's our player. But yeah, it's just picking out individuals, I'm not really sure, because it's not like the squad have been brilliant at all, have they, recently?
Well, clearly Marshall hasn't hit the heights that he did when he played against us, because he ripped us apart when he played against us. I actually thought yesterday, as I said earlier, he had his marker, Jones, for Toast a couple of times. I mean, absolutely turned him inside out.
But he does that quite a lot, Mark Marshall, to players. He can get beyond players, no problem, but he can't put across it.
Well, I think
too often.
No, I think he can. It's just that part of the problem, possibly, is that getting the cross in, once the ball's in the box, you've got Josh McGuinness up against at least two centre-halves and probably a third defender coming in. So the chance of it actually hitting Josh McGuinness from across is remote. It can happen sometimes and does, but the chances and the percentages wouldn't allow that to happen, because they've got more bodies in the box than we have. So you normally then rely on midfielders coming in and arriving deep, and that hasn't happened recently, certainly since
Cashy
has been injured. You know, Jake Forster-Caskey is now in the defensive role, so he's not entering into the box like he was at the start of the season. So there are loads of reasons for this. There's not just one, particular reason that we can, you know, switch a light bulb on and think, oh, that's it, everything's changed.
Right, I tweeted out the picture of the league table with our 5-point gap to the playoff places and said, what does Carl Robinson need to get his side to do in order to breach the 5-point gap? Kevin Crouch says he needs to resign. Jake says he needs to get the side to do the opposite of what Carl says. Daniel Gurr says he needs to leave and take his formation with us. Sensational Sar says he needs to leave. Coop said the players look very short of confidence and lost within the 4-2-3-1 formation. A formation change with two up top might be what's needed to stop the rot. Stuart Binns is questioning whether we did dominate yesterday after Carl Robinson said that. Robert Trar said it's easy, we just need to win. Now Sean Smith says formations are irrelevant if you can't pass or even control a football. At the moment, it's hard to say whether it's our decision making or first touch that's the biggest problem. It certainly isn't the formation. I mean, confidence throughout the squad looking a bit low at the moment as well, perhaps.
Yeah, it is. I think formation is playing a part. I disagree with that, but I do agree that confidence is an issue as well. As I say, and as we've said throughout the show tonight, we can't really put our finger on exactly why that is. Obviously the defeats don't help, but yeah, something's not quite right. Whether it's that the players have clocked off, whether it's that they were hoping for the takeover as well, whether it's that playoffs just seem a little bit too far away, whatever it is, something's not right, and they don't look particularly confident. And that's why when they do get into those positions and you've got a decision to make, they're making the wrong one too many times, and that's why we've scored so few goals this season.
Guys, just forget the playoffs. It's not happening. Yeah. Right? We've got 10 games left. 5 of those games are against teams in the top 6 already. The other 3 are against teams in the bottom 4. And that leaves 2 games that are mid-table.
What you're saying is we're going
to
win the league.
We've got to play teams that are fighting for something. And we are not currently. So it doesn't bode well, does it, really? So, you know, I'd sad to say, but certainly Tuesday knocked the stuffing out of me in terms of optimism. And now, you know, I just and Saturday sort of cemented that really a little bit. But unless we have, I mean, it has to be a seismic change, and that's probably new owners and a completely clean sweep of the club. And I can't see that happening.
No,
new owners might come in. Carl Robinson might leave, in which case maybe you'll have Jacko and Boya taking us for the rest of the season potentially. Is that a bad thing? No, not necessarily, but it didn't necessarily change what we've been doing, because it's the same coaching staff then. I can't see them bringing in a new manager. Well, maybe they will, who knows, but that's the takeover's got to happen. The new owners have got to come in at that point. I can't see that happening either. No. So I hate to come on here and be a bit of a doom merchant, but as I say, Tuesday knocked the stuffing out of me. So I can't see too much positive changing this season, at least.
Yeah, it's probably true. James Fern says Tuesday night was the final of many nails in the coffin of my support for Robinson. To head straight down the tunnel at the final whistle was almost as embarrassing as the excuses we are getting. If your heart isn't in it, then the Oxford are waiting with open arms. Alex Rogan said, I've been to the Valley regularly this season, and the consistent moans from certain fans grate on me. Booing your own players off the pitch, such as Josh McGuinness, is destructive and unnecessary. We all want to see attacking football, but turning against your own players is wrong in my book. Now, Mark says, did you spot that CAG is scoring for fun still? You got another two for Crawley yesterday, and they came back from a 2-0 down at Carlisle. So well done to CAG. Marion says that she's listening in, and thanks for all your hard work against the odds. Well, we're still cracking on, Marion, with the show, despite the fact the football has been slightly disappointing over the last few weeks. To put it lightly, Richard Justin says, an impact manager for 10 games, maybe Uwe Rosler. Big fan of yours, Terry.
Oh yeah, I love Uwe, cuddly Uwe. Oh yes.
Lewis says, I said, what do we need to breach the gap to the playoffs? Lewis said, a miracle. Fleetwood, not Barcelona. London in at Giza says, after we dominated yesterday's game. Roger says, at a supporters club meeting on Thursday, Robinson said that after the Blackpool game, he had a 1-1 with all the players. He told them what he thought of them and vice versa. It's not good.
Well, yeah, no, that wouldn't be good. That wouldn't necessarily encourage team spirit, would it? I don't know. It depends what was said.
Yeah, David Jarvis says we have to beat Plymouth on Saturday to have any chance of breaching the gap. Peter White says the season is now written off and the outlook looks bleak. Takeover needed ASAP to ensure we have a chance next season. A couple of comments about Carl's shove their systems comment, which we'll skip over, but because they're just on Twitter. Red and White says, what was the comments about worse things are going to happen? He knows that for sure. There was a little bit of that in that interview as well. He said, I mean, I don't know what he's got planned.
But, like a threat.
Yeah. Lewis Wheeler says, there might be 10 games left, but the performances have been awful. The results have been awful, and it's not getting any better. Look at our run-in after Northampton at the end of the month. It's horrendous. We've come up against the weaker sides like Blackpool, who hadn't won at home for 5 months, and Fleetwood, who haven't won for 10 games. We still have the likes of Shrewsbury, Blackburn, Portsmouth and Rotherham. We're going to get absolutely nowhere. Pete Howarth says, it's a shame that we've slipped away at the end of the season. Nothing new. It's happened since about 1999. Still 30 points to play for, and with no teams around us showing any consistency, we still have a chance. Hopefully that is the case.
I mean, I suppose you could cling to that. I mean, it is a rubbish league, isn't it?
So
we should be nowhere near the playoffs, but we are.
We're similar for the likes of like Bradford and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, surprisingly we are. Martin, referring to Dyer Bismol, said it's a bit like Ian Dowe and his bounce back ability.
Is there any way we can get anybody, how do you get words entered into the English dictionary? We've got to be able to give that a go.
Just say him enough, I think.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
We'll be saying it a lot about Charm.
Yeah, Sarah says Robinson's connection with Oxford was also mentioned on Football on Five Gold Rush last night. Hopefully he's already packing his case. I know there's no one else to take his place, but how worse would we be? Marcus says, isn't Carl on a 2.5-year deal? I think he was, yeah, but I mean, he's still...
What's that, half a year left then?
Yeah, well, no, because he came in halfway. He's still have a year left, yeah, but I mean, if he walks, he walks. That wouldn't make any difference. Michael McLaren says, play two up front and actually go forward, not side to side. Now, just before we hear from Lewis Page, a couple of posts on the Charlton Live forum. Bristol Addict says, Professor Waffle needs to shut up a bit. He needs to shut up a lot. We've not been dominating games, including yesterday. We've merely had the bulk of possession, two completely different things. Passing the ball around 40 yards from the opposition goal, or even worse, across the back four, and keeper at a pace that would be considered slow in an over 60s match does nothing to hurt the opposition. In fact, most of the time they're quite happy to allow us to do that, as it poses no danger to them whatsoever. Southwest Addict said, another season which we will have three or four home matches, which will mean which will have nothing to play for. It's going to feel even worse this season because every opposition left at the Valley are chasing promotion. Apathy has taken its toll with the players, manager and supporters. Overall, a very predictable and fitting end to Rowland's tenure. Rudders 22 said, can you please not play Carl Robinson's interview at the beginning, as it will drive me to sleep? failing that, can you play any one of his interviews from any of our other games? It'll be the same. Oh, right, we've still got plenty of emails to come here on Charlton Live, but I want to play you now our interview with Lewis Page from yesterday. Yesterday was the red, white and black Day, the 26th Red, White and Black Day here at Charlton. Obviously something that the club are very proud of, celebrating equality and diversity. We heard from Dr. Michael Shiraj on Thursday's show to find out what the event was all about. And I went down there at sort of about 1:30 as everyone was starting to gather. I mean, it was snowing yesterday, but the turnout was still superb. And if you were there on Floyd Road watching the march go past all the school children and made banners, obviously it's all part of the work that the trust does, and it's really good. It's great to see everyone enjoying it, and like I say, they all marched into the ground. The steel band was playing. It was really cool. And the under-23s went to join the march along with the women's team and you know, the community trust and whatnot. And Lewis Page was there as well, obviously injured, couldn't play yesterday because of his concussion he picked up against Blackpool. So I had a quick chat with him, just find out what he made of the event itself and how proud it is that the club do that stuff, and also just find out how he's feeling, because I was quite surprised he still had a head.
Well, not only that, did he make the march without getting injured?
Well, I hope so. Importantly. I haven't seen him since, to be fair, actually. So, right, this is Lewis Page before yesterday's Red, White and Black Day march.
Yeah, obviously it's nice to be here. Equality Walks, it's an important day for the club. We did it last year, and I think we've done it for many years, actually, so it's nice to be a part of it. Obviously where I can't play, and it's nice to see everyone together.
Yeah. Obviously you see how good the club is with stuff in the local community, and as a player, does that sort of make you proud to see that your club is good at that sort of stuff?
Yeah, like, obviously a big part of the game now is having equality, so see our club taking a big step into that direction, it's good, and I suppose it gives everyone like a belief that it's actually moving forward in that sort of department, so it's nice. Yeah.
And it's a great turnout despite the cold weather today.
It is, yeah, and it's freezing, like everyone is wrapped up, but it's good to see everyone here, yeah.
And how are you getting on yourself? Obviously you had a nasty bang on the head on Tuesday, how are you feeling?
Yeah, all right, I was groggy for a couple of days, I had neck pain and concussion, but didn't come off quite as bad as he did, yeah. But obviously it's one of them things that happens in a game, both clashed heads. But,
can you remember much about what happened?
Or? Yeah, I can remember it all actually. It's just as soon as I hit the floor, I just sort of, my eyes went a bit blurry and went blacked out a little for a couple of seconds, so I couldn't take any risks, and wanted to play on but wouldn't let me, so
I guess that's sort of been your luck since you come here. You finally get a chance to come back after your long injury, and now you have to wait a few more days.
So as soon as I come year out and then first game back, get concussion, but hopefully next week I'll be back in, and we'll see what happens. Yeah.
I guess pleased to see that you got your chance in the team, and you know that when you are back, you are going to start getting opportunities.
Yeah,
again.
It's nice to know. Yeah, it's obviously I've been waiting for an opportunity for a couple of weeks now. I've been fit, so to be put in the starting 11 was nice, and I hope to do that again for the rest of the season. Yeah.
Tariq Fosu, and now it's Forster Caskey over here on this near side to take the corner, swings it in, it's gone deep. Bowers at the far post, gets ahead of there. Oh, it's in! Patrick Bauer heads the ball down.
Come on!
Beyond Ian Lawler and into the back of the net for Charlton's opener.
Oh, I can't believe that went in, Terry Smith. The ball came in from Forster Caskey at the back post. Bauer's able to beat his man. He just heads it down on the ground almost.
Back to Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio on your Sunday evening. We'll talk about yesterday's goalless draw with Fleetwood Town here at the Valley. Mutley CFC says, I don't think Marshall's crossing is that bad. It can be variable. He doesn't have the players to take advantage when he lobs it in. He needs to drive into his box and beat the man more often than he does. That is his problem. Right, let's have a look at some of the tweets and emails we've got coming in. Phil says, hi guys, I didn't go to the game, and looking at the pics of the stands, not many did. Gave up on the playoffs a long time ago. Robinson and the team should be embarrassed by their performances of late. Watching our club dying is breaking my heart. Something has to be done. I'm calling on all Charlton fans now to support Card and protest. However, the only thing Du Châtelet cares about is money, so a full boycott of all remaining fixtures is, I believe, the only way forward. All supporters groups should get together and issue a joint statement on removing Roland Du Châtelet from our club. This can't keep bumbling along. That's from Phil from Elton. We mentioned the Card protest there. Obviously, we saw on Thursday, which we sort of touched upon it briefly, but Card is sort of saying they're ready to resume hostilities after the announcement from Carl on Tuesday.
Yeah, Easter Bank Holiday Monday, I think is the protest, isn't it? Yeah, and that's not a surprise at all, is it really? I'd slightly disagree with about boycotting. Boycotting will make a statement, and I don't disagree with the impact a statement might make, but in terms of money, he's losing £1 million a month. So just not turning up won't make a slight bit of difference, I don't think. I do think he wants his money back, clearly, because the asking price that is being touted for the club clearly indicates that. And that might be what's holding it up. because he wants too much for it. But in terms of on a day-to-day basis losing money, I don't think he cares much. Doesn't appear to, anyway.
Got too much money, doesn't he?
Indeed.
More money than sense, that man.
Wouldn't be difficult, would it, really?
No. Right, Valley Voice says, I can't believe we're being relegated to League 2. Oh, no. Oh, wait, we're safe. We're a sinking ship. Just looks. We're pretty stable in the league. We spent millions on transfer fees. No, that is a lie. Our loaner is a total so-and-so. Very true, Charlton. For life. Thanks for your messages there, Valley Voice. Right, the emails. Chris Davenport is normally the first one into email. Got beaten by Phil this week, but it's not a very long email from this from Chris this week. It says, below is a list of Carl Robinson's managerial qualities. Yes, exactly. Sent from my iPad. That was it. Chris seems to have lost his patience with Carl a long time ago, and that's continuing. Martin Atkins said, it's simple. Robinson's tactic. You'll notice I didn't pluralise. It's easy for clubs to nullify, he said, tactic rather than tactics. Fleetwood weren't overly defensive but knew what to do. Two banks of four, double up on Fosu, and then we are clueless. McGuinness getting all the flack by the covered end Muppets, yet he's the victim in this time. And again, he ran the channels yesterday, got crosses in to the box, yet no one was there. Marshall's crossing is appalling, can't beat the first man, and our set pieces are a joke, and McGuinness gets booed. A striker is only as good as the service he gets. I've supported Robinson a lot, but it's getting harder and harder by the week. Right, next one in from Mark Newbury. Evening, chaps. My sympathy for being stuck picking up the pieces from yesterday. We played 4-4-2 for less time than whatever formation we tried to play in the first half, and I actually think we looked better, but that's better than awful. It's not much. Four centre halves. So what did KR expect? Raiding runs by Sarr, Konza whipping in crosses. He could have put Dicksteel on the right. Mascal could have done. Could have gone left. I know he's young, but Fleetwood were hardly going to tear us apart. So Carl doesn't like a fan asking him about corners. Well, try and explain why Fosu can't kick the ball more than 15 yards. I think next week will force his hand, as no Big Mac or Ez, and if Reeves accidentally fell down a lift shaft as well, I'd probably not shed a tear. All three subs actually looked up for it, even Kai Kai, so that's a plus. That's cheers from Mark. I mean, we haven't even mentioned next week yet, but we're going to lose McGuinness, and we're going to lose Konza, and we're playing Plymouth.
Maybe the Reeves down the lift shaft is what Carl was alluded to about it getting worse.
Does sound like the plot from some awful soap or something.
Would have got away with it if it wasn't for those pesky kids.
Right, Richard Church says, something's changed. Hi all, thanks for being there. I remember sitting in the covered end at the Shrewsbury game when the second half started. We were giving the ball away all over the pitch. Before the first Shrewsbury goal, I said to my son, something's happened. They've had a row at half time. I've no evidence for this, it was just a feeling. But your comments earlier about how something's changed reminded me of that feeling I had. I wonder if that was the moment that Mr. Robinson lost his team. I mean, it's hard to pinpoint, really, isn't it, when it would have been. But certainly something's not quite right at the moment. Matt Stewart says, who will he play on Saturday? I prefer 4-4-2, but he will be too stubborn. Who will he play up top in his 4-3-2-1 formation? So as we say, no McGuinness next week. Who leads the line? Gyro?
Well, he already said Gyro didn't look as effective when he started.
Yeah.
So he's an impact player at the moment. So yeah, Nicky Jozo's only played X amount of minutes football, so he's only an impact sub as well. So yeah, you are struggling, aren't you? Really? I mean, where have we got a striker that's banging in the goals currently? Have we got one?
No, Carlin.
Oh no, it's been mentioned. Yeah.
It's funny actually. One of the lads who's works on the Fleetwood press team is actually a Crawley fan. I've chatted to him for a while.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, I met him last.
Yeah, Craig. Craig, and he was here yesterday. I was chatting. He came in after the game. I was also annoyed that we didn't win and all that. And he came and said, "Oh, see, Carlin scored twice again." I nearly headbutted him. He's like, "Get out, mate! You're on my turf now. Yeah, you don't come in here slagging off my team or pointing out the obvious." Right, Martin Greenway says, "Hi, Louis. My son and I sit in the north lower stand before matches and watch the Charlton players with Lee Bowyer doing their shooting practice routines before the games. The standing of shooting is abysmal from Charlton players, with at least 50% missing the target and many finishing above the high netting and into the north stand. If they can't score from a few yards out in shooting practice before a match, what chance have they got in matches? This happens every match, and I'm sure local decent park players could get more on target and hit the back of the net. The standard of shooting is truly dreadful, and this reflects in us hardly ever scoring goals. It needs to be addressed immediately if we're going to start going up the table again." I mean, it's true, our shooting in games hasn't been good enough this season. We scored 1-4, and that's only the games I can remember going back. I can't remember what we played for Shrewsbury, so it might be 1-5. Who did we play for Shrewsbury?
Oh, good question.
Yeah, but I mean, so we scored 1-4 goals, and it clearly at the worst time of the season to stop scoring goals.
Yeah, MK Dons.
Is it MK? Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
We got a couple there, but yeah. Then it was one against Bradford, one against Doncaster, and then a couple against Oxford. So, yeah.
Excellent. Right. Final email for now. Derek says on the takeover, hi, is Roland waiting to see what league we're in next season before he sells the club?
That's been said before as well, and yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure. Why would it make a difference? You know, would the club be that much more attractive in the division above? Maybe, but in the championship
and organise that. So if they sell and we get promoted,
I'd be amazed if that wasn't a clause anyway, wouldn't you?
Yeah, so just do that and get it done. If that was the sticking point, but
Right, we've got a couple of announcements to make. By the way, don't forget tomorrow night on Love Sport Radio. Myself and presumably Nathan, if he's well enough. Otherwise, Tom, you might have to pick up the slack.
I'll be in reserve. Yeah,
we're going to be on Love Sport Radio from 9 o'clock tomorrow. It's a phone-in show. Now, plenty of you have had your say via email and tweets today. We got a couple of phone calls on it last week. I'd love it if you guys phone in and have your say on air. So look out on our social medias tomorrow. You'll be able to see the phone number and whatnot. I can't remember it off the top of my head.
No, I can't.
Yeah, and you'll be able to see how to call in. But it's lovesportradio.com to listen to our show tomorrow evening. Medium wave 558, I think it is. Yeah. London DAB as well. So we're on a proper radio. Not that Maritime isn't. We're on a proper radio station where you can phone in, basically. So we'd love for you to phone in tomorrow when we talk about the game. Now, next Saturday here at the Valley, as you know, the club are doing a lot around prostate cancer UK this year, and in the summer a few of us are cycling over to Amsterdam as part of Prostate Cancer UK's big football event. They've got all the football clubs are cycling either from London or somewhere up north to Amsterdam to raise money for the charity. Cheltenham are going to be one of the biggest clubs represented, and a lot of that's thanks to Tracy Leeburn, of course, who's organising it from a Cheltenham point of view. Now, she came up to me very excitedly yesterday and said, Louis, we're going to become the first football club to do PSA testing on a match day next week. And I went, what does that mean?
You've not been paying attention, have you?
So PSA testing is where you can be tested for prostate cancer.
Yeah, it's a blood test.
Yeah, it's a blood test. Yeah. So next week at the Valley. And now, so I understand it. So other clubs have done it on a away game day. So they've left their home ground open. But Tracy believes that we're the first club to do it on a match day at the Valley. So next week before the Plymouth game, PSA testing will be available at the Valley in the fans bar north stand between 12 and 2:45. The blood test measures the amount of protein-specific antigen in your blood and can help diagnose prostate problems, including prostate cancer. The test is aimed at men over 45 years old and for a minimum of £5 donation. So obviously a £5 donation to get a really important test. And there's more details on the forum, and there'll be more details, of course, on the Cheltenham website tomorrow. But obviously 1 in 8 men get prostate cancer at some point during their lives, 1 in 4 black men, that goes up to in the black community. So it's very important to get tested, Terry, and I'm going to be there Saturday.
So I'm going to be
do you qualify over 45?
I just sneak in, I think. I have to check my birth certificate again, but I'm pretty sure I'm all right.
So first club to do that on a match day. It's going to be available to the away fans as well. There's going to be a booth set up somewhere in the car park. But for the home fans, if you come into the fans bar or crossbars, as most of us know it, you can, for £5 donation, you can get tested. And it's very important to find it as early as possible. And it's absolutely no harm's going to hit. It's a little blood test.
It's a little blood test, yeah. But it's easy for you to say. Yeah. You're not having it done.
Well, when Tracy first told me about prostate exams, and I said, what on the pitch?
Now, yeah, I'm not sure if that had reduced the crowd or not. I don't know if it's on the big screen.
So next week, it'd be great. So spread the word. If you're too young, tell your dad, granddad, uncle, whoever, or Cheltenham Life fellow host in this case, to make sure you do it. And it's really important, and it's part of the drive to help Prostate Cancer UK as a charity. They target football a lot because of the demographics of football. There's a lot of men, especially here at Cheltenham, there's a lot of middle-aged men, and they're most at risk, so you can get tested.
Look, even go along and witness a Cheltenham Live presenter screaming like an absolute wimp when the needle goes in. So
you can do that most Saturdays.
Is that not Greg and his cashing?
It's got to be worth it just for that.
So that's for next week. Now, the next one I wanted to talk about, Cheltenham Invicta, the LGBT addicts team who we've Nathan trains with, but we've spoken to him quite a few times over the years. Gary Gunnor is the manager slash captain, whatever you want to call it. They won their league today, the London Unity League, and that was great to see. So congratulations to them. We were big supporters of them. Like I say, Nave goes down and trains with them. To be honest, I think it's been fairly, we've been fairly confident they were going to win that league for quite a while now. So I'm very, very pleased for them. Now, finally, today was supposed to be the women's team FA Cup quarter final when I was all geared up to go, but it got snowed off. It's now been rearranged for next Sunday, away to Arsenal at Boreham Wood. I spoke to Kim Dixon actually before the march yesterday. Just to find out, I did do an interview, but it's obviously pointless now because the game never went ahead. But to find out, we were talking about, their Charlton women's team are a team that are at the top of their league, at the top of their game, and more used to going out and attacking teams and walloping them 5 or 6, but now they're going to play one of the best teams in Europe who've just won the Continental Cup during a week, and they were getting all geared up to go really defensive and to try and grind something out. And a couple of years ago they played Everton at a similar stage and took them all the way to penalties. I think
obviously Charlton women's team are a significantly good side, but it clearly would be the underdogs against Arsenal, but it's the FA Cup, and that sort of thing is what happens in the FA Cup. And I think it sent a statement as well, because obviously they've applied to be part of the new
setup,
the championship, and we should be in there, no question about it. Just the organisational side of things, we should be in there. But we're a good side as well, and that'd be great. Just the work that goes into the women's team, it'd be superb if they can get there, and if they can give Arsenal a really good game, and as you say, even if it's just stretch them, maybe take the penalties, and if they can actually beat them even more, send a message to the powers that be that we should be in a better situation.
Excellent. So that's next Sunday now, over at Boreham Wood. I assume I'll be there. I've no reason not to be, and I'm really looking forward to it. And it will be streamed on Valley Pass as well if you can't get up there. But obviously, I think you have to pay a couple of quid for that, I think.
You can do a 48-hour pass.
Not too bad.
Maybe.
Yeah. We've come to the end of the show, actually. Red and White 1905 says there's not enough time in the world to talk about Charlton. That hour and a half has flown by, and it certainly has, thanks to all of you guys getting involved with your tweets and your emails. Now, as I said, don't forget, we'll be back on air tomorrow night on Love Sport Radio. So lovesportradio.com, medium wave 558 in the London area, or London DAB. You can listen to us. You can phone in, because I know some of you have got stuff to get off your chest, and there's no better way to do it if you want to get your voice on air. Right, so thanks for joining us tonight, and we'll be back on Maritime on Thursday, of course, with a big match preview looking ahead to next Saturday's game with Plymouth. Right, that is all we've got time for. Tom, thanks for travelling back from Wales.
Cheers, Lee.
Sterling effort.
Terry, thanks for travelling over from Dartford.
even more sterling effort.
Yeah. Right, I've been Louis Mendes. Hope you've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed getting it all off my chest tonight with you guys as well. We'll see you tomorrow evening.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.